Welcome to the Rural Physicians Group inaugural podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Byers. I am a PA by training, and I'm the Vice President of Clinical Services with Rural Physicians Group. I thought I'd start by introducing myself and Rural Physicians Group, or RPG, and then a little later we'll get into some of the factors we've been able to identify over the years that are critical to the success of rural hospitals across the United States. We'll start with me. I'm a physician assistant, and I've been practicing in the rural space off and on for the past 22 years. I've been with Rural Physicians Group for 4 years now, and I'm the Vice President of Clinical Services. I'm basically the project manager for all of our program launches, working with our new partner hospitals to determine their pain points and subsequently our keys to success. We have to know why they've hired us in order to ensure that we can deliver what it is that they need. So what I've found over the years is that the issues that cause difficulties for one rural hospital typically are the same as they are for another. And even when these hospitals and communities are thousands of miles apart in separate states, those issues are the same. My first exposure to RPG was actually working in a rural setting in a little town named Fallon, Nevada. Fallon is about an hour due east of Reno, and it's largely an agricultural town with three major products: milk, alfalfa hay, and cantaloupe. It also is the site of the United States Navy's Top Gun program. They moved it from Miramar, California, there to Fallon, primarily because of the weather, as I understand it, but also because of all the noise complaints they would get in Southern California with the jets taking off and landing. And so in Fallon, most people love the jet noise, kind of cheer for the red, white, and blue when the jets are taking off and landing. And I actually had a house that was just over the flight pattern for those things coming in, the F-18s, and it was a real thrill to watch them. So the town itself has a population of about 8,500 people. It's in a county of 5,000 square miles and a total population of just under 30,000 people in the catchment area, making it one of the most sparsely populated counties in the United States. I'd been working there in the primary care system for 5 years in both inpatient and outpatient settings, as well as moonlighting in the emergency department for both Saturday and Sunday every other weekend. Typical to rural hospitals everywhere, there was a staffing crisis. Half of the primary care contingent responsible for the inpatient coverage left the community within a six-month period. That placed undue strain on the remaining medical staff. In response, the facility hired hospitalists who were working in 24-hour shifts. There was little continuity of care. A lot of travel for the docs and cost for the hospital was unsustainable. So we did a couple of things to help combat the things that we could control. I was brought in from the outpatient clinic into the hospitalist service, primarily to provide Monday through Friday continuity of care. As a result, of course, the trade-off was that the community lost about 60 visits a week in the outpatient setting. I was part-time mornings only in that hospitalist role. And so that cut back my ability to see about half of the patients that I would normally see during the day. And so that translated into a loss of about 2,500 outpatient visits a year. So roughly half of what you would expect to see in a primary care setting. So the hospital had hired these hospitalists to do 24-hour shifts, and one of those doctors that they brought in was Dr. Suk Panu. Dr. Panu is the founder and CEO of Rural Physicians Group. After about a year of what was then the standard 24-hour shifts for hospitalist service lines, Dr. Panu derived a novel approach. He proposed that he and his hospitalist colleagues would stay on site for 7 to 10 days at a stretch, sleep there in the facility, and cover the inpatient service during the entirety of that time. At the time, all of us other than the hospitalist thought that this was a crazy idea, but it would save the hospital roughly half the cost of the inpatient service line coverage. I could go back to the outpatient medicine setting full time and re-expand access to care for the community, and also by decreasing the call burden for the local primary care physicians, we were expanding access to care that way as well. We still couldn't replace the outpatient visits that were lost by the three physicians that left town, but we could maximize the providers that we had left. And so it became evident very quickly that this was an ideal solution for our 25-bed critical access hospital. The vast majority of patients would spend the duration of their admission under the care of a single physician, limiting handoffs and thereby decreasing the opportunity for mistakes to be made as a result of the transfer of care. Additionally, the patient's care plans became more stable under the care of a single physician as well. That model is still in use today, 15 years later. It has stood the test of time in Fallon, and it serves as the foundational model for the Rural Physicians Group hospitalist programs in more than 50 hospitals coast to coast across the United States. Most critical access hospitals are using one of three systems for covering inpatients. In many instances, local primary care physicians are still covering the inpatient services for their communities. These physicians are still admitting their own patient panels as well as being on call for the unassigned patients. As anyone listening to this podcast who works in medicine knows, gone are the days when virtually everyone has their own physician. Most patients are not already established with a physician until they require hospitalization. Or the other dynamic that's come into play is that the insurance companies dictate who you can and can't see. And so there's more hopping to local and from practices because of this. Because people are going to go where their insurance pays. They're not going to want to have additional out-of-pocket expenses. We thought when this system first came along that people would remain loyal to their primary care folks and that they would continue to want to see them. Despite the fact that they would have to pay a little bit more out of pocket, and we were dead wrong. People followed where the insurance companies told them to go, and as a result, we lost a lot of patients from our own practices if their insurance has changed. One example where that can have a tremendous impact in the rural setting is that there were hundreds of employees through the school district, and the school got a new insurance product to cover all of their employees, with which none of the primary care systems in town were contracted. And so all of a sudden, all of these teachers and other staff members from the school district started going into Reno for their care. And so we lost a substantial portion of the local business in town. So those are just the types of dynamics that we see affecting local primary care services that are also covering the inpatient service line. The hospital lost some business as a result of that too, because if they're not contracted with local providers, chances are they're not going to be contracted with the hospital as well. So as a result, the proportion of unassigned patients admitted through the emergency departments has greatly outpaced those with primary care physicians that are established and have cared for these people for a long time and who know them well. And so it makes it a little bit more difficult, plus it's an increased burden on whoever's on call. So these docs continue to work in this model, and they're getting increasingly burned out as the local physicians are retiring from rural settings and not being replaced, and as the local physician workforce tends to shrink in these rural settings. They experience increasing call burden, and as a result, a lot of patients get transferred out of town. And so it's an unsustainable model in many respects. And we find that we are coming in to replace a number of those models in multiple facilities. So the second model is a hospitalist program that's been devised to provide daytime coverage only, with the ED covering call for the night. And then daytime coverage is usually 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. with a single hospitalist. So under this model, the ED docs are typically unfamiliar with the patients by and large. As you guys are aware, the ED physicians generally change every 24 hours or every 12 hours. And as a result, they're not taking care of the patients that they admitted. They're taking care of patients that somebody else admitted days before they came on shift. So they're unfamiliar with the patients. When the hospitalists return the following day, the problem is that they find medications and orders that they might not have implemented themselves. And so they walk into a practice that's changed a little bit overnight. And so they've got to take some time to reorient with what's going on with each one of the patients. Bottom line is there's a transfer of care that occurs at 7 p.m. and continues until 7 a.m. and it creates a break in the continuity of care that typically is not in the best interests of patients. The third model is the one where full-time hospitalist program is in place. Typically, however, this is a cost-prohibitive proposition for the hospitals on some level, and the physicians generally aren't incentivized to keep patients in the rural setting. So these are usually salaried positions. There's limited financial alignment with the hospital, and as a result, we see a continuation of that out-migration of patients from the rural setting who could have been kept, and they end up getting transferred to tertiary centers that are typically about an hour away. Inpatient census begins a downward trend in all of these models, and along with the census decline, the case mix index also declines as well. So the acuity of the patients becomes less and less over time. Also, that decreases the comfort level of the nursing staff and the other care providers that are taking care of these folks across the board. And so this is a bad trend that we are brought in and many times to reverse. This, I'd say, is probably the number one pain point. Our experience in many rural facilities has highlighted what we believe to be seven critical success factors for all rural hospitals. When hospitals are considering partnering with RPG, we found that their pain points typically fall into one of these seven categories. And those categories are a lack of continuity of care, a decreasing level of care, difficulty finding the right provider fit, and then being stuck with the wrong providers, a general lack of a collaborative clinical approach with primary care systems and emergency room and specialist coverage when you've got physicians that are coming in and they're only doing partial coverage or they're doing short-term shifts, that type of thing. There just isn't a close collaboration. You don't get to know people. And as a result, the care, the transitional care between the inpatient and the outpatient setting suffers. The level of physician alignment and engagement decreases. There typically is not 24/7 availability of the same physician. And as a result of all of these other categories, patient satisfaction scores typically tend to suffer. As I heard another physician describe earlier today, he described a situation of death by 1,000 paper cuts. So if you have a patient who comes to the hospital for the same condition and they're routinely transferred to a tertiary center an hour away, they're going to start bypassing you. And as a result of them bypassing you, then other patients are probably going to start bypassing you as well. So this just starts a bad trend across the board for everybody involved. So let me take each one of these issues one by one, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the RPG solution and how we help reverse these trends. So number one is the continuity of care. I've already touched on that. We have a single physician who stays on site at the hospital 24/7, and they stay for 7 to 10 days at a stretch. Now, these hospitalists can get out in the community. They can go have a meal and get off campus of the hospital. We actually encourage them to do so, but they must remain within a 20-minute return radius of that hospital, and so it's important that they be able to return quickly should there be a complication that arises. And furthermore, the primary role of the physician there is patient care. Patient care comes first. And so the hospitalists that are there taking care of these patients all know that. We prep them before going into the sites. But that continuity of care is there. There's a single physician who's making decisions for the care of those patients on a continuum. Second is increasing the level of care. By having that same physician there 24/7, they are comfortable with the capabilities of the hospital, and they're also comfortable with what they can take care of. As a result, they're much more inclined to keep those higher acuity patients. The other thing, too, is the way that our compensation model is set up with the physicians. It aligns nicely with the goals of the hospital, and we tend to reverse the trend of patients being transferred out as a matter of convenience. Finding the right provider fit. Boy, that's a tough one. The importance of that cannot be overstated, though. If you get the wrong fit in a community, it undermines the nursing staff's confidence in the care that's being given. It can undermine the relationship with patients in that community. Ultimately, it results in lower patient satisfaction and, as a result, people are not going to want to come and stay at that facility. So finding that right fit physician is critically important. That's one of the missions that we really embrace in Rural Physicians Group and always have. And, you know, it's interesting. You can have a physician who is just not quite the right fit in one facility, and then they go work somewhere else, and they're a great fit. So it's very nuanced, and we understand that. Local facilities, if they contract with physicians, the problem is they're stuck with what they get. And so physicians are not, it's not always easy to figure out who's going to be a good fit and who's not right out of the gate. So we do have the ability to rotate physicians in and out of the schedule, and that helps solve that problem of the right provider fit. Collaborative clinical approach is another thing that's critically important. The hospitalists collaborate with the primary care physicians, both at the time of admission and the time of discharge, so that the patients have somebody who's been taking care of them on a continual basis involved in the decision-making that goes on during their hospitalization. We like to collaborate as much as the local primary care providers can. The only thing that we don't do is co-manage the patients in the hospital. And so, for instance, if a primary care doc wants to admit their own patients to the hospital, we don't provide nighttime call coverage, primarily because we just don't believe it's good for the continuity of care for the patient. And the primary reason is the patient should be cared for throughout the admission by the person who's making the decisions with regard to their orders. And so you don't want to have somebody pinch hitting at night. That's a lot of what we're coming in to fix. So we don't co-manage patients, but other than that, we will care for the patients in a very collaborative manner with primary care in town. High level of physician alignment. We have a lot of alignments that we talk about with our physicians and the hospital, everything from charting in a timely fashion to that financial alignment, being good stewards of the financial relationship with the hospital and of the good stewards of the financial resources within the hospital as well. That can be as simple as the antibiotic choices that you're using, lengths of stay, whether or not we place a patient in a swing bed status. All of those things are those alignments that I'm talking about. The 24/7 availability of the physician, I can't overstress this. This is critically important. So when you have an RPG physician on site, they are all using the same telephone that they hand off back and forth to one another. It means that there's one phone number for the nursing staff. There's one phone number for the emergency room. There's one phone number for primary care physicians. It is all the same number. And so it makes it very easy to get in touch with the hospitalists that are on service. And then they simply hand that phone over to the next person who's coming in. As a result, the access to that physician is really streamlined. And then our internal operating procedure is that the physicians need to be able to respond to all of their phone calls within 10 minutes or so. Lastly is high patient satisfaction. And what we have found is that if all of those other things are aligned and the facility is happy, the physicians are happy, the nursing staff is comfortable and confident in the abilities of the physicians that are there taking care of their community and their loved ones, then the patient satisfaction scores reflect that. And we focus, of course, on the three physician communication pieces of HCAHPS scores. But the bottom line is that the scores generally reflect whether a patient has a good experience or a bad experience. And we view the providers that we're placing in these rural hospitals as the quarterback of the care team. As such, it's important to make sure that we've got all of those points of alignment working well. So that's it for me today for podcast number one for Rural Physicians Group. Thanks so much for listening. I am looking forward to the next podcast, which will be addressing COVID and how that crisis has impacted the rural hospital market over the last year. There's no doubt that it has been a challenge nationally, and it is magnified. The impact, I think, has been magnified in the rural setting. So I'm hoping to have a guest on next time who can speak directly to that, who's been working in the trenches during this crisis in the rural setting throughout the whole time. So thanks so much for joining me. This is Cameron Byers, your host, and I'm signing off of podcast number one.